Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Have you ever been in a relationship where you feel barely tolerated, maybe constantly assessed, like they're just always assessing, summing you up, like you have to walk on eggshells? I have. It's not fun. You're not free to be yourself or to grow into all that God intended you to be. The sad thing is, many people think that that's how God views them. So even though they're wrong about God's thoughts, they live as though these things are true, and they never come to enjoy God as much as He enjoys them. And if that's you, today is a new day. It's a perfect day to begin again. Lisa Bevere joins me today. We're going to talk about one of her books. She's got a lot of books, but this is one where we thought it was a timely word for right now. It's titled Fiercely Loved, God's Wild Thoughts About You. I mean, have you noticed how the enemy's going after identity on such a visceral level in so many people's lives and children's lives even? Today is a good day to remember that God makes no mistakes, and you are fiercely loved and fearfully and wonderfully made. We'll get Lisa on in a moment. A couple of quick announcements. So we've got a few copies of this hardcover devotional, Fiercely Loved, God's Wild Thoughts About You. Got a few copies of this one to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And we've got a couple of tickets to give away to go see The Chosen in the theaters. And I think they're showing 3 episodes in a row when you go see it at the theater. So all you got to do is text CHOSEN to 877-933-2484. In fact, I saw a number of texts go out the other day of people whose names were drawn, and now they get to go to the theater. So we'd love to get you a couple tickets. Text CHOSEN to 877-933-2484. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lisa Bevere has spent 4 decades empowering women of all ages to find their identity and purpose. She is a New York Times bestselling author, internationally known minister. Her books are in the hands of millions worldwide. She and her husband, John, co-founded Messenger International. It's an organization committed to developing uncompromising followers of Jesus Christ who transform their world. Lisa, welcome back to the show. I got to say, it's been too long. I know you've been busy, but man, we're so glad to have you back.
I know. I've missed you. Susie, I just want to celebrate right now your consistency, your faithfulness, and you're always just, you're in the Word, you're focused, you're always ministering, and you're so resolute and yet soft-spoken, and I love it.
Wow. Thank you. You've just given me a great gift. Thank you for that. Wow.
You're most
welcome.
That's
amazing. Oh, wow. Well, you know this because you've been on the show plenty of times, but we ask the same question every single day, and it really speaks to just your time with the Lord. So what's He been impressing upon your heart these days?
Well, I actually picked out one specifically on this topic, and it's Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. It says, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And I love this idea of redeeming God. There's so many people that think, wait, I did one thing too many, and now I'm no longer redeemed. And God is saying, don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. And not just that I have redeemed you, I've called you by name and you're mine, that He wants to possess us, that He said, yeah, I have actually set something in motion to make you mine since the foundation of the world. And I think too many people, they don't feel fiercely loved. They feel fiercely judged. They feel the weight of their past sins, the weight of their daily mistakes or errors or lack of attention on some social media platform, and they feel that God tolerates them, as you were referencing in the open, that God is like, well, I guess I have to love Lisa because Jesus died for her, but I don't really like her. Well, God not only loves you, He likes you. He not only loves you, He loves spending time with you. And I felt like that too many people had the wrong idea of what God was thinking about when He was thinking about them.
Hmm. Thank you for that so much. Well, people watch you on Instagram. You've got these reels. You're a powerful speaker. And again, you write like you speak, very direct and bold. And I appreciate it so much. But some may think you came out of the womb that way. And in some ways you did. But you are very honest about your beginnings. And if you don't mind, for those who don't know your backstory, talk about how and when you learned that you were fiercely loved and profoundly enjoyed by God.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I was raised to be an exceptional heathen. I came from a long line of heathens. My dad was a heathen. My mom was a heathen. My grandparents were doing heathen. My family was doing dysfunctional long before the Kardashians figured out how to make money off of it. My grandmother was married four times. I mean, to three different husbands. Crazy, crazy background. But there came a moment for me, Susie, between my junior and my senior year in college, which I just have to even highlight my college choice, the University of Arizona. Why did I pick there? Because I had read that it was in the top 10 party schools from Playboy magazine. So none of this was working in my favor. So I grew up in a conservative Midwest town, West Lafayette, Indiana. I saw palm trees. I saw the pole. I was like, I'm going to Arizona. And I pretty much fled everything that I had known. And between my junior and senior year, I'm driving back home alone in the car. For the first time, I'm not surrounded with distractions. I'm not drunk. I'm not with a boyfriend. I'm alone in my car. And I was singing AC/DC, I'm on the highway to hell. And I realized that I was like, wow. I am on the highway to hell. And all I was trying to do at that moment was to stay awake while I was driving. And I had this awareness that I had become everything that I didn't want to be. I had become shallow. I had become immoral. I had become irreverent. I could not connect with anybody. If a guy cared about me, I thought he must be crazy. So I couldn't receive love from anyone because I did not think I was worthy of love. And again, so I just began to go on this search where I, you know, was going out to the bars, and yet all of a sudden it just felt empty. I was finally legal to drink at 21. And I remember thinking there's got to be more. And there was this sweet little engineering boy who was a tennis player that I had met at breakfast when I was at Purdue. And I had ended up talking about my escapades from the night before and pretty sure laced it in with some cuss words. And when he left the table, the breakfast table, somebody said, you might not want to talk like that in front of him. He leads like an all-campus Bible study. And I remember thinking, well, okay, I don't want him to think I'm a bad person, which is exactly what I was. And so I tried to act, you know, Christianese around John. And I said, hey, I need to ask you some questions. My mom, I think she might be in a cult. She thinks she's healed. She listens to ministers on cassette tapes because that's how old I am. And I think you need to help me out with this. And John said, well, I tell you what, if you really want to talk to me, you can call me next week. And Susie, I didn't call him because back then girls didn't call guys, or at least I didn't. So John calls me and he invites me to a Bible study picnic. I had never heard the gospel, never. And at this Bible study picnic, they're in a circle. It's incredibly awkward. They're singing songs. Some people have their hands up in the air. I'm a college student. I'm thinking, do they have a question? What is going on here? And I look down at the song sheet in my hand and I read this line from a song called Robes of Righteousness. And it said that when God would look at me, he would no longer see me. He would see Jesus. And I had such an overwhelming sense that my life was covered in sin and in shame. And I thought I am completely without any righteousness. And I turned to John. I said, is this true that God could ever look at me and not see me? And of course, John had kind of been a nice person. Then he got saved. I was just like a really bad person. Hmm. And then I got saved. So John was like, yes. So we went walking on the campus that night. And John preached to me from Genesis to the book of Revelations. I finally interrupted him. I said, I want to do this Christian thing. What do I need to do? Do we need to light candles? Like, what needs to happen? Mm-hmm. And he said, you just need to confess your sins. And I was like, I don't remember them all. He said, well, can you say I'm a sinner? And I said, yes. And I got born again and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I got healed on my very first date with John Bevere. And that was back in July of 1981. I had just turned 21. And that was the beginning of this adventure where for the first time in my life had meaning. My life had purpose. I was living outside of myself instead of just for myself. And Susie, I have to be honest with you. John said one thing to me that softened my heart. He said, I haven't dated anybody for 2 years, and God told me to ask you out because he wants me to tell you how much he loves you. Wow. And I was so overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Why would I resist that? So I surrendered my life that first night, and John and I got married a year and a half later, and we've been married, I think, I keep getting it wrong, 42 years this year. We have four beautiful sons and 8 grandkids.
Amazing. And there's so much more.
Daughter-in-law.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Well, if I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've known you for years. I seem to remember back when you were newly married, young mom, and you had a sense of the call of God on your life, but didn't somebody within the church say that you were wrong? Like, didn't somebody speak something over you that wasn't correct?
Oh, I mean, yes, I'm sure they did. I mean, I can't remember the one isolated incident because there was many. But yes, first of all, Susie, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I think it was just last month, I had somebody tell me, a woman preaching. First of all, you mentioned I'm on social media. So this gentleman saw a clip from a woman's meeting, but he said to me, you shouldn't post any clips where any man could possibly see it, because a woman preaching is the highest form of evil. Wow. So that would just be my most current one. So it would be every single week I get something like that. But yes, the first time my husband actually ever had me speak to the youth group, half of the group got up and left. And somebody pounded on my window. I had to call the police. It was crazy. This has been my journey. And so I have a husband who said, hey, you're not your own. You are bought with a price. The Bible says that the sons and the daughters will prophesy. I believe that God has anointed you to speak to the women of this generation, and you do not have the right to be comfortable while everybody else is uncomfortable. John did not give me any corner to hide in, and he has always encouraged me to use the gift of God on my life to minister to women.
So powerful. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, John. And thank you, Lisa, for having the guts to keep on keeping on. Because, I think that's so important that people get backstory and kind of a behind-the-scenes view of what you deal with. Because in this, kind of nauseating celebrity Christian culture, which I know you don't want to be part of, I want nothing to do with it, but people will put that on you and think that that's what that's about. And it's, people don't know the price you paid to do what you do. It'd been easier not to do it, but you have to, because otherwise the rocks will cry out. So, well, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to talk about just how identity is such a big deal with God. And he made no mistakes when he made us. And it's why the enemy goes to great lengths to distort our sense of who we are on many different levels. And I've got a bunch of great quotes from Lisa's book, Fiercely Loved. Lisa Bevere is my guest today. We're going to take a break. Again, we've got a few copies of this gorgeous hardcover devotional, Fiercely Loved, God's Wild Thoughts About You. If you need a fresh reminder of God's wild thoughts about you, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, for 75 years, God has been changing lives through Faith Radio. To celebrate, you could win one of the 75 Faith Radio birthday boxes filled with Brant Hansen's new book, Life is Hard, God is Good, Let's Dance, and a new Faith Radio t-shirt and some other fun things to help you grow and commemorate this important birthday. You are an important part of the family, and on this special birthday, you get the presents. You can enter to win yours at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Happy to have my friend Lisa Bevere back on the show. And her book we're talking about is titled Fiercely Loved, God's Wild Thoughts About You. So happy to say we've got a few copies to give away today. It's a devotional, short reads, but really insightful content to help you retrain your heart and mind to believe that you are someone God deeply loves. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Lisa, I'd love to talk about identity for a moment. You write this, the realization that God constantly thinks of you is thrilling and should awaken a fresh enthusiasm in every aspect of your walk with the Father. He means what he says about you. His heart is set on you, and nothing you do or say can remove his seal of love from you. In Christ, his love is forever settled. Now it's time for you to settle it for yourself. Say more if you would.
Yes, I think a lot of people, when they hear God loves you, it's white noise. And it's because they've actually never really allowed that love to enter their life. Because they think that God loves the projected pretend them, that God loves them when they're at their best, that God loves them when they're at church service, or God loves them when they don't yell at their kids, or God loves them when they're getting along great with their husband. They do not understand that God is love. Now, I have love, but God is love. And so many people don't actually know how to receive something they can't earn, they can't purchase, that they don't deserve. And they don't take the time to just really ponder that love. And so we think about, again, that God would give his only son. I mean, I have four sons, and I wouldn't spare any of them for anyone. But God gave his only begotten son to communicate to you and I that he loves us. But not just that he loves us, that he has loved us, that he always loved us. It isn't this nice God in the New Testament and an angry old God in the Old Testament. And Jesus came and said, oh, please be nice to them. No, God always loved us. And too many people are so aware of self-judgment, or they're deflecting it by blaming other people, that they cannot receive it, Susie. They're caught in that problematic middle of, I can't receive love, I can't give love. People aren't giving me what I think I deserve. Therefore, I mean, it's just this world right now that is so self-focused. And, you know, and this is something I always say that people kind of trip up on. So I'm just going to say it right now. I understand that it might be confusing, but Susie, when I first, you know, started in the ministry, you know, I was a youth pastor's wife. And again, that's when John was like, you have to speak to these young girls. You have a voice to them I don't have. And I remember it was really cool in, let's say, the mid 80s to pray things like, God, use me to do this, use me to do that, use me to do this. And I somehow, Susie, I created a mindset with those prayers that God just used people. Now, I'm going to be really clear here. God will use situations and God will flow through you, but Satan is the one that uses. God anoints. He transforms, he flows through, he ministers through, and too many Christians think that God just wants to use them. It's kind of like this, I would never say to my children, I need to use you to do A, B, or C for me. Now, do I want to train them? Absolutely. Do I want to see them grow into the best they can be? Absolutely. Do I want to see them be loving and gracious and kind and generous with other people? Absolutely. But the idea, and even the words of using, makes it sound like we're just, like workers. And God said to me very early on, who you are to me is more important than anything you might think you need to do for me. I mean, what do I have, first of all, that he has not given me? Whether it's the gospel, whether it's my clothing, but whatever it is. And I think too many people jump into the ministry without ever having a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. They want to do stuff for him, but they don't even know him. And so then when something goes sideways, they say, I did all this stuff for you. And he's like, I never knew you. And we need to come to grips with that dynamic of we have a Bible that says people that say, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons? Those are not wrong things, but they did it for the wrong place. He said, I didn't know you. And so I want to know God. And to know God, I have to receive his love for me, or I will continue to filter it through my human experiences. And, you know, Susie, I don't know what your background was, but I had a very broken childhood. My parents were broken, and you get two broken people and they marry each other and they expect one another to heal each other and they can't heal each other and they don't have Jesus in the middle. The brokenness just gets magnified. And so my father didn't know how to love me, and my mother didn't know how to love my father, and my mother didn't know how to love me. But when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and the one who loved me, loved every part about me, every yucky part, every, you know, part that had promise on it. Now, it is an endorsement, but he knew the worst about me and yet believed the best in me. And that's what love does. Love believes the best. And I feel like I have had the privilege of growing in the likeness of the love that I have seen, not in the works that I have done.
Thank you, Lord. That's so good. What do you say to that person listening today, Lisa, who says, I want this. I want this to be true. I think it's probably true for others. I'm hoping it's true for myself. I don't know how to apply it in a way, integrate it in my life so that it starts to feel true. What do you say?
Well, I tell you what, my deeper connection comes in worship. You know, if I listen to worship songs where it is no longer, I am no longer the focus. If I am no longer, you know, thinking about, God, I'm sorry about this. I wish I wouldn't have done this. I need to do this. If I can just fix my eyes on Jesus, and a lot of the worship songs nowadays are all about me. I'm not talking about those songs. I'm talking about the ones that are on him, and we focus our intention on them. I find so often as I worship him, I experience him. I'll sense his presence. I know, Susie, I know you've experienced this. Whenever I get my mind off of me and my inadequacies or my failures or my sins or the people that I wish would love me that don't love me or the friends I wish would like me that don't like me, if I just focus on him, I have an overwhelming awareness of his glory and his greatness. And and even though I, in that moment, have an awareness of my I am awash in his wonder, and I let him love me. And there's been times where I've even been singing and I've heard the Holy Spirit say, now just receive from me. And experience the presence of God in such a tangible way that all I can do is describe it as every part of my being felt loved, and I would just be weeping in his presence. And I know that God doesn't do that for me because I'm a minister. I know he does that for me because I'm his child. And I believe that that is available to everyone, but wow, you have to make room for it. And I think too many people are afraid of being rejected, so they don't even come before him.
Yeah. And you really made a point earlier that, you know, just living your life in a way where you're counting on his goodness, where you're believing the truth about him. Because if we have a narrative about our story that builds a case against God, it will be really hard for us to relax and rest in his presence. So much we need to take a look at the stories we're telling ourselves, the things we believe. I always say the enemy is constantly trying to get you to build a case against God and blame him for the things the devil's guilty of. So this is such an important conversation. Well, this I loved. We talked about this book, I think, a year ago, but I saw this afresh today when I was prepping, and just loved it so much. It's your chapter titled, The God Who Hovers. And you referenced a passage.
Oh, that's the one I've got open right now.
Yay. Thank you, Lord. You referenced a passage in Genesis that speaks of how the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. And you unpack the Hebrew meaning of the word to mean to linger or to float in a manner that's at once gentle and cherishing. I mean, that made me gasp. I just want you to maybe expound, if you can, on that.
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, we have to describe what God was hovering over. He was hovering over deep darkness. The world that we now know at that time was buried under fathoms of water. You couldn't see what it might be. And God hovered. The Spirit of God hovering. And I had actually called a messianic rabbi about this word. And he said, it's to hover gently like a dove. He said, it's the same description of when the Spirit of God descended on Jesus. And it's to draw near and to call forth and bring comfort. So when we find ourselves or our lives buried in deep darkness, and I feel like so many people right now feel hopeless. They feel like, well, I thought this was going to be different. I thought this marriage was going to look different. I thought having children would be different. I thought this promise was going to come. Or maybe just they took some steps and they feel lost in this moment. Whatever feels confusing or shadowed or dark right now, I want you to know that the Spirit of God, he is as close as your next breath. And what I love is he begins by hovering. He begins by hovering, but he doesn't stop with hovering. And whenever we find ourselves in a place of darkness, God does not draw near and say, oh, there's darkness. He actually draws near and speaks light. And God is this God that says, let there be light. And there was light. So there is areas in our life that feel like overwhelming darkness. And God is saying, come on, let me come near and let me speak light to whatever area of darkness is in your life. So there's so many people right now that they think that this darkness is overwhelming in their life and that maybe even God is repulsed by a habit, by a conversation, by a relationship. And God is like, I already know. I already know. I already see. Let me draw near and let me speak light into your darkness. And right now, Susie, I have such a sense that God is shaking the church and he is shaking the nations. And when God shakes the church and he shakes the nation, it means individuals get shaken as well. And God is shaking everything, not to be mean, not to be destabilizing, not to deconstruct our lives in a harmful way, but in a constructive way. He's saying, I'm shaking those things that can be shaken, so only those things that cannot be shaken will remain. And God is a God that is a holy God. He is a God of light. There is no shadow. There is no darkness. There is no ability for him to turn towards darkness. And God is asking you and I to invite him into every broken place, every shameful place. You know, something came to my attention today, and I even looked at my husband and I said, John, how is it that people think that they can do these things in darkness and it won't come to the light? And the beautiful thing is people think that when it comes to the light, that that's a problem. But actually, when something comes to the light, that's the beginning of healing. That's right. That's the beginning of somebody's freedom from the things that have held them bound.
So good. As we get ready to go to break, I want you to think about this text from one of our dear listeners, Tina. She says, what does it really mean to receive from God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? I know to believe, but I've always been unsure of the word receive. Had a lady tell me I'm not healed yet because I haven't received it. I don't know what to think about this. I'm going to have Lisa Bevere speak to that on the other side. We're also going to talk about fear and how perfect love casts out fear. And fear is a weapon the enemy has used in massive amounts in the last few years. But is there a way that we can find our footing in perfect love and have peace while the nations rage, while there's chaos swirling around us? 100% yes. It's possible because we are children of God, and that's part of our birthright. Talking to best-selling author, international speaker Lisa Bevere about her book, Fiercely Loved. And she feels this message, as you can tell. She oozes it. Fiercely Loved, it's a devotional, God's wild thoughts about you. If you need a daily reminder of what God thinks of you, text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Got our friend Lisa Bevere on the show today. In fact, it's a Bevere month. I'm kind of excited. We got John coming on to talk about the fear and the awe of God in a few weeks. We've got Addison, whom you know. We've had him on plenty. That he's one of the Bevere sons, and we love the Bevere family. Today, we're talking about Lisa's book, Fiercely Loved, God's Wild Thoughts About You. And Lisa, this dear listener, Tina, wrote in, says, because you were talking about just receiving God's love. At times when you're worshiping, you're telling him what you think and how much you love him, and there's times where he says, now I want to tell you. And he pours his love on you in a way that you just feel so deeply. She says, what does it really mean to receive from God, from Jesus and the Holy Spirit? I know to believe, but I've always been unsure of the word receive. Had a lady tell me I'm not healed yet because I haven't received it. I don't know what to think about this.
Yeah, that sounds like works to me. Like you're not healed because you haven't received it. I've experienced healing, and then there's other things that I have not been healed from. I'm going to tell a little story to make your listener feel better. I had this horrific earache. It felt like someone was sticking a sharpened pencil in both of my ears, Suzy. And I had some people pray for me. Because I'm excruciating pain, and nothing happened. And they did the whole, well, you're not believing. If you were believing, then you would have received it. So I'm like, now I feel guilty. Now, not only am I in constant pain, now I feel guilty. And I remember thinking, I really want to just maybe take an aspirin or something. And they're like, well, that's a lack of faith. And I went to this meeting. We were all like at a camp meeting or something. This is before I was even married. And I had, you know, been prayed for. Nothing happened. Kind of shamed, like, if you would only believe. They even went as far as to say to me, do you have unconfessed sin in your life? Mm-hmm. And that's why you're in pain with your ears. Wow. And so I remember this gentleman was on the stage and he said, listen, if you're here and you're experiencing sickness or pain in your body, the Bible says that the believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And of course, everybody looked at me like, well, not in Lisa's case. And I remember I just very subtly put my hands over my ears when the guy prayed. Everybody had their eyes closed. And Suzy, when this guy prayed, and he didn't pray a prayer of just faith, which it was, you want to pray a prayer of faith. He mixed in love. Hmm. He mixed in love, not works, not, you know, if you only believe it, it was love. And Suzy, both of my ears opened up at the same time. And I remember going back to college and them saying that people were coming in and having to get pain meds because of how painful this particular ear infection was that was going around the campus. And so I feel like, if you feel like you are the source, then it's a problem. I mean, I believe that God is the healer, but I don't believe I get to tell him how to do it.
Amen.
And so I believe he is good regardless, and that he loves me regardless. If one of my sons is sick, I am there to take care of them, to get them better. I'm not going to stand over the bed and say, well, why aren't you receiving this? You know, I'm going to do whatever I can to create a loving, supportive environment. And I just don't see that as what this woman is experiencing. So I feel bad about that. And I guess I would just encourage her to just read about the goodness of God. Read the scriptures on healing. Don't let what people say to you. Just see what Jesus did, you know, and just experience him for yourself. And don't let other people layer their expectations on top of that.
Brilliant advice, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, I've said this on the air before, but I got an email, it was a year or two ago, someone saying, Susie, a leader at your level and you're still not healed? Where's your faith? And it's amazing. People take the, you know, like you said, not only now do I feel physically bad, I feel emotionally bad.
Guilty.
But yeah, but you get to a point where you know God's love and you're so secure. And I will, you know, I have to testify, I'm more healed than I've ever been. But it's not because people shamed me or shunned me. It's because I had encounters with the love of God and was able to stand on his promises. So thank you, Lisa, for handling Tina with such tender care. And wow, I do appreciate that. We were talking earlier about the spirit hovering. I got to read this from your book because I think someone needs to hear it today. And then we'll move on to talk about fear. You write, the spirit of God still hovers. So Tina, he's hovering right over you right now. He's as close as your breath and longs to gather you close and whisper light and love. You belong to him. He's the one who heals your brokenness and fulfills your deepest need for intimacy. Whatever chaos is swirling in you, God is hovering and ready to speak life and light over you. So good. Okay, let's talk about fear. I mean, honestly, Lisa, you do seem pretty fearless. Like, I don't know that fear has been a thing for you, but maybe I'm wrong. But could you talk about times maybe when you felt fear and then how God moved in and comforted you with his love?
Okay, well, I totally love that you see me not wrestling with fear. And I would say that is not something that I wrestle with anymore, but it was definitely something I wrestled with for a very long time. I lost an eye to cancer when I was 5. When you lose an eye to cancer, it punctuates your life. Not only did I lose my eye, my mom, she went into a depression. My dad went into alcoholism. And so now my mom is coming into my room almost frantic for the first 6 months. Did I wake up? Was I going to die in my sleep? I was checked every 6 months. They would put me under anesthesia, which I absolutely hated. And then, you know, they would check to see if the tumor had crossed from the eye they removed to my real eye, the eye I can see out of. So I lived with a shadow of fear over me, fear of death, fear of blindness, fear of being made fun of. I was constantly made fun of. It was called one eye. It's called Cyclops. Never was I a cheerleader. Never did I ever get up in front of more than 2 people. I did everything I could to hide. But when I became a Christian, I could tell that God was immediately wanting to peel away my fears, not so that I could be afraid, not so that I would, but he wanted to take me to this place where I wasn't living in constant fear for my children, fear for my marriage. I think I was married to John for 8 years before I dealt with the fear of divorce. I thought, you know, this man could leave me at any time. I don't want to give him my whole heart. What if I give him my whole heart and he just takes off like my dad did? Well, I have no heart left. Okay, I'll give him half my heart. I mean, there were so many areas I measured my life by a spirit of fear. And then there came this moment where it was almost like an invitation, Susie, where God was like, you know what? I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So if you are wrestling with this constant fear, there is something underneath that. And I had to dive deep into the scriptures, and I found out what was behind all of my fears was a heart of unbelief. See, I believe that God was good for you, Susie. I believe if I talk to your beautiful listener, I would have, and I'm going back to when God really encountered me. I would have been like, yes, God's healer for you. Yes, he's provider for you. Yes, he'll take care of your marriage. Yes, he'll protect your children. But because I had experienced loss, because I had experienced what I felt like God not being there for me, I believed that God was good for everybody else, but not for me. And I had to deal with my heart condition. You know, it's interesting in Hebrews, it said that the children of Israel had a wicked, unbelieving heart. And wicked means, it's from the term wick-end. It means to twist something. So I had a wrong advantage. I had a twisted advantage where I only believed that God would be faithful to others, not to me. And again, that goes back to receiving his love. And when I repented of my unbelief, and when I said, you know what? I'm going to stop thinking my thoughts. Because I don't know, Susie, I had some crazy thoughts. Like I'd just be in my kitchen doing something normal, and all of a sudden a thought would go across my mind, and I would see like one of my children run over by a golf cart. And I would just be like, what just happened? And then I would panic. And then I started to actually just say, no, no. My children are disciples taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. They are for signs and wonders and miracles. They're not going to be run over by a golf cart. And I know that sounds really silly, but John would take the boys golfing, and I would think one of them might bounce off the cart and he might run them over inadvertently. But this was the enemy constantly invading my mind with fear. My mom lives with so much fear, Susie. She was terrified of flying. That's all I do. Terrified of swimming. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to swim competitively. But I didn't deal with these fears until God made me face them. And what I found out, and my greatest fear was probably speaking publicly. What I found out was, it's not about me. It was about facing this fear of speaking out the gospel of Jesus Christ to other women and finding out that God was faithful. And again, this is something I've had the blessing of seeing God's faithfulness for more than 40 years. And so I can doubt me, but I don't doubt him. And so I rest in that. Now, the only times I experience any kind of fear is if I find myself in a space where I have not handled something well. And I recently did that. I'll just be transparent.
Okay, I want to hear that story, but we have to break, yes. And I don't want to miss it. So I love having you, because you tell such an honest story, and then you point us right up to the throne. And I'm my whole heart is so deeply encouraged. If yours is too, text some amens. I've already seen some come in today from Judy, from Gwen, and some others. Give me an amen if this is speaking to your heart. Text me 877-933-2484. Lisa Bevere is my guest. More great conversation in a moment.
Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. And one of the things I love about Faith Radio is that we put a high priority on the Word of God. The Word of God is living, active, and powerful. There's no other book that you can open up and hear the voice of God like the Word of God. We would love for you to join us this Lenten season. Prepare your heart for Easter and study the Scriptures with us as we walk with Jesus to the cross. You'll feel like you're right there watching it all happen. And then you'll be the first to celebrate Easter morning with a better understanding. You can sign up on our website to receive a free study guide. Subscribe to the daily Reading the Bible Together podcast to listen to the podcasts that accompany this Reading the Bible Together initiative. I hope you'll join us. You'll find all the information that you need on myfaithradio.com.
Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to New York Times bestselling author, international speaker Lisa Bevere about being fiercely loved by God. In fact, that's the title of her devotional, Fiercely Loved. She's got lots of books. We just picked this one to talk about today, God's Wild Thoughts About You. We just thought maybe you needed to hear in a fresh way how perfect love casts out fear and what God thinks of you. And we got a few copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484 if you want in on the drawing. Lots of amens have come in because right before the break, we were talking about how fear can paralyze us and blind us. And lots of amens saying, oh my goodness, I needed to hear what Lisa had to say today. So thank you, Lord. Okay, Lisa, you were saying now the kind of fear, you don't really deal with the fears, the kind of plaguing trauma fears that the enemy would try to thrust on you as a young mom. But now if you're pokeable, if the enemy can get at you, it's if you handle something different than you'd like. Say more about that.
Yes. So recently I did that, which, you know, again, I'm just going to admit it. So I was speaking at an event, and one of the speakers said something from the stage before I got up that was very, very confusing to the audience and very, I would say, derogatory towards me. She didn't say my name. Oh, I know. She didn't say my name. And here's what I did wrong. Here's what I did wrong. I texted John, and I remember I said, what do I do with this? And he said, well, you need to say something. But what I did was I attacked the problem without first affirming my relationship with the person. And if I had the whole thing to do over, I would have said, I'm not sure what you meant by that, but this is how I heard it. And I would have given her an opportunity, but instead I just kind of pounced on being right instead of on being rightly related. Mm-hmm. And even though I was correct, Suzy, because I mishandled it, I had a little trepidation about a follow-up conversation. And, you know, so right at the very beginning, I said to her, I have thought about this over and over again, and this is what I wish I would have said. And I am so sorry I mishandled it. And the only fear isn't, you know, hey, I'm scared God's going to be mad or anything like that. Is I valued a relationship, and I was afraid I had permanently wounded it. And you know what? Because I humbled myself, and she was gracious, we actually have a stronger relationship now because we spoke to each other in a way that believed the best. And here's the thing again, love believes the best. Suzy, there are so many times I've had to go to God and I've had to say, I am so sorry. And he never says, well, I'm glad you're sorry. That was awful. He never says that to me. Maybe other people would say that to me, but I have never sensed that from the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, I always sense an awareness of, I do not condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Don't stay in the shame. Don't stay in the guilt. Don't study your past, thinking it's going to protect your future. Leave shadow, leave shame, leave fear. Walk forward in my love and believing better things of your future. And that's what I do with my marriage. That's what I do with my children. That's what I do with my grandkids. That's what I want people to do with me. And too many people don't understand that God is intimate. Can I read something from the book?
Yeah, please.
There's a chapter, and I feel like too many women don't realize this. Our God is intimate. He knows our fears and speaks directly into our spirits. He has forgotten our sin and shame and buried our transgressions in a sea of forgetfulness. But he remembers those moments that made him smile, the very ones we've forgotten. We lose sight of our identities when we attach them to the wrong imagery. We lose our ability when we allow fear and even the pain of others to bury our gifts. When you can run and hide in him, he will speak truth to the most intimate places of your heart. You are so much more than what you or others can see or touch. You are so much more than what you've known or done. You are so much more than what others think about you or even what you think about yourself. You could never be accurately measured by what you own or lack. You are more than the span of your years, and you cannot be tethered to the adages of young or old. You are more than single, divorced, widowed, or married. You are far more than your gender or sex. You are a child of the eternal realm. These attributes are tangible expressions of the structure that houses the real life that is you. They represent how your life appears to be, but they are not your source of life. And I would also add, they are not your identity. You are wildly more than can be described here and now. You know, so many people, and Susie, you and I are aware of the pain that is going on in our world right now. There is a generation that thinks their formation is a mistake.
We've got 10 seconds. I want so much to continue this, but I've got to stop. Please come back, Lisa. Please come back. I know you're busy. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, Lord. Thank you. With all the texts coming in, I know this is really hitting you where you need it. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you, dear Lisa. We love you. Appreciate you so much.
You too.
Wow. Have a blessed day, everyone. We'll meet you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.